It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Andy Levine, American Sea Trade Association. Well, Michael Wirth is chairman and CEO of Chevron, sent President Biden an email on Tuesday saying the president's words are self-defeating in terms of encouraging companies to boost their output.
Last week, I sent a letter to the CEOs of the largest oil refining companies asking them to work with my administration to bring refineries back online to get more gas to the pump at lower prices. The Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, and members of my team will be meeting with many of these refining companies tomorrow. And I hope they'll come up to the table with some real ideas and practical steps in the near term. And I'm prepared to act quickly and decisively on the recommendations if they make sense to address the immediate challenge in front of us and the American people.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Andy Levine. Andy is president and CEO, American Sea Trade Association, or ASTA. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Tony. It's great to be with you today.
Well, let's just dive in. We talk often about the Seed Trade Association and the importance of having good quality seed. And we're usually talking prior to planting season, talking row crops usually. However, is it important for us to be thinking about quality seed in other areas, maybe whether it's conservation or cover crops?
Yeah, Tony, that's a great question, and it really is across the board for us. The amazing thing about the American Seed Trade Association is we were founded over 135 years ago in 1883 on the basis of developing quality germplasm for America's farmers, and that still is our ultimate goal as we bring products to the American farmers and homeowners and land managers. It's across the board that quality seed is important for produce growers, for flower growers, for turf grass managers, just all across the board. And we look at it, especially as we talk about this opportunity and conservation in that arena, it's important when farmers are making decisions about cover crops as well.
So if it's important, how do we know we're getting that quality seed? How do we know that? Is there a resource? Yeah. Is there some way we can find this?
You know, there is, Tony, and we realize that that's a challenge as farmers look to make sure that they are meeting the goals that they have for their conservation efforts on their farm and their operations. We wanted to make sure that they knew where to buy that professionally produced regional seed. And we've created a landing page on the ASTA website, which is betterseed.org. And on that site, we've got a map, and farmers can go on in their regions, the seven regions of the country, including Mexico and Canada, as a matter of fact, so actually nine regions, where people can go on and see where professionally produced seed is available and the companies that are producing that seed. These aren't names that farmers may be familiar with, so we wanted to make sure that there was a quick, easy place that people can go to and get obviously advice on different blends and varieties that they may be looking for cover crops, but also ensuring that they're getting that professionally produced. That company is going to stand behind it, and those seed companies are doing a great job to meet the demand that the farmers have as these programs continue to evolve.
You say meeting demand, and it really makes me think about our supply chain issues we've been dealing with now for a few years, and just seems like we had a light shining on areas that were broken, and one of those appears to have been dealing with ports and a recent passage of a Ocean Shipping Reform Act. Is that anything that can possibly help us at the ports?
Yeah, we think so. We give a lot of credit to Congress for quickly analyzing this, especially after COVID and the challenges that we had there in moving products around the world. We move a fair amount of seed through our seaports here in the United States, and that ability to have containers and to be able to offload them or unload them and ship them out is absolutely vital to our seed companies, because farmers are looking, there's a small window for farmers to plant, and we've got to make sure that we've got that available when they need it and not when the shipping company can get it to us. And so with the passage by Congress of the Ocean Shipping Reform Act and President Biden's signing of it just last week, we think it's going to give us that opportunity to address some of the issues that we've had. The ocean carriers have had some of the ability to shift the burden of proof on the reasonableness clause in the shipping area. And the Ocean Shipping Reform Act shifted that back, and it's no longer on the backs of the person trying to ship a product through these vessels. It's now on the ocean vessel owners, that they are being reasonable in charging demurrage and detaining containers. So we like to see that. We want to work with those companies as much as possible, but we also need to make sure that they're not taking advantage of the U.S. Industry and the agriculture community.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder if one of the benefits that we'll reap from this challenge is realizing where our ports are as far as in age, and maybe ways that we can be improving. And it's not just ag that will benefit, it's the entire country, right?
It really is. You know, as we look at this, Tony, you realize how valuable a system that we have in the United States is to moving crops, commodities, food, other things that we enjoy in our society, and how vital it is that we have one that's transparent and good collaboration from both importers and exporters and shippers and all those in the supply chain. And it's going to take a while for all of this to shake out, because while the ocean-going vessels are absolutely important, then you've got to be able to take it off and put it on a truck. And do we have the truck drivers to deal with that? Then you have to be able to take it off and put it on a train. And do we have the train capacity? And you realize that capacity has to be able to flex depending on the situations that are in front of any sector of our industries. So it is important. It's across the board, but it seems to be – it is especially challenging for those – sectors that have perishable goods, who have, you know, just-in-time deliveries, who have those situations that need to be addressed in a timely manner and can't just store it in a facility, or there's not a margin there that would allow extended demurrage payments. So things like that are going to change. It's going to take us a little while, but I think this is a good direction.
Well, and also, I think just brings the importance of having people who understand your business in key positions. And we're starting to see that now on the trade side with ag. What's happening on that front?
Well, we've got two great nominees the last 2 weeks for key trade positions for the agriculture community. The first is Secretary Alexis Taylor, who's out in Oregon at this time, the Secretary of Ag there. She's been nominated for the trade undersecretary at USDA. Great understanding of the importance of trade to our industry and just across the board, and we look forward to moving Secretary Taylor's nomination through the process as quickly as possible with the Senate Ag Committee and then the full Senate. And then the other appointee was Doug McCaleb, who is a special advisor to Secretary Vilsack. And Doug is very familiar with the agriculture industry in the U.S. and has great import-export experience through his days with USDA Animal Plant Health Inspection Service and their trade office. And he'll be a great trade negotiator and ambassador at the U.S. Trade Rep's office. And so we look forward to those two nominations, and we sure hope that we'll see them move through the system in the Senate as quickly as possible.
And as we talk about moving things through the House and Senate, won't be long until we're really debating the next farm bill, the 2023 farm bill. As a matter of fact, hearings have already started on that. Are there some priorities that ASTA has when you start thinking about that next farm bill?
You know, Tony, there are, and there are similar priorities as we've had in the past and some new ones. I always look at our first number one priority is agricultural research. That's just the bedrock of the seed industry. It is how we bring new varieties into the marketplace, that public-private relationship that we have with our land-grant institutions and USDA's research programs that they've got under the REE undersecretary are just vital for us. And so that's our number one core as we look at it. We've got to push strong, vibrant, resource funded agricultural research, and that comes from the Farm Bill, a lot of that direction. You know, we got conservation programs that are going to continue to be key, and the cover crop sustainability discussion, I think, will fall under that area in this Farm Bill. I don't think this is going to go away, or we don't think this is going to go away in discussions with the House and Senate and the administration and the public. You know, we want to help the farmers as much as possible on the sustainability front and encouraging them to do and providing them the resources to do what they can on their operations. And then looking at plant breeding innovations, it does fall in that ag research area, but dealing with the policy of it, how can we make sure that all crops have the ability to use innovation in plant breeding, in genetics, and discovery, and use it in a way that continues to evolve, not restricts that capacity. We don't need a new breeding method like gene editing to only be available to breeders in corn, soybeans, and cotton. It needs to be available in produce, in tree crops, in vine crops, in cover crops, you know, forage crops, others across the board so that farmers can take advantage of innovation. No matter what crop they grow in their operation. So those are probably our core ones. Continue to strongly support the agriculture community and the various associations and their priorities, because ultimately they're our partners that we bring new products to. And so we need to make sure that they've got good, strong programs that follow them as well.
Hey, Andy, early on you mentioned the website address, but maybe a good opportunity if we want to keep up with the American Seed Trade Association, where will we find you?
It's pretty easy, Tony. It's www.betterseed.org. And that resource page that I mentioned on the environmental conservation, the cover crop seed, and dealers around the country, that's under our resource tab, and it'll say cover crop seeds. And so look for that on our website at www.betterseed.org.
Andy Levine is president and CEO of the American Seed Trade Association. On today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Andy Levine with the American Seed Trade Association.
Great hay doesn't just happen. A good hay crop takes planning, hard work, and the right tools. At Livingston Machinery, we have the Heston by Massey Ferguson self-propelled wind rowers, large square balers, and small square balers you need to bring your crop in right. Years of experience and rugged American-made quality show in every high-density bale. Don't just wish for good hay. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the American Seed Trade Association online, betterseed.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Lower, the word of note in USDA's outlook of global wheat supply and demand for June. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackadowski says the primary factor behind a 1.4 million ton decrease in world wheat production was a lower forecast for India.
Prior to this year, India had five consecutive record production years. Year over year, it's a reduction in about 3.6 million tons. And for the month, we pulled the production forecast back by 2.5 million tons.
India also factors into lower wheat exports in the global balance sheet.
Ending stocks down this month, down fairly substantially year over year, down 12.6 million tons, and that would put stocks at a six-year low.
A slight forecasted rise in U.S. wheat production from the previous month led to increased ending stocks for the current marketing year. The season-ending average price for wheat remains unchanged from May at $10.75 per bushel. I'm Ryan Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.